This is the Education Gadfly Show.
Speaking of outfits, Michelle, white pants, would you like to defend yourself? I mean, if I check the calendar, it is February. I mean, Memorial Day is nowhere in sight. What is up with that?
Winter white.
Winter white?
Winter white.
What, are you just claiming?
I'm rebranding.
What does Gadfly say?
Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, here at the Education Gadfly Show and online at edexcellence.net. And now, please join me welcoming my co-host, the Bob Costas of Education Policy, Michael Brickman.
Does that mean my eyes are, like, closing and
you gotta take the long view here. You know, he's a Midwesterner, right? Started out in St. Louis, like I did. Actually, I'm the Bob Costas of Education Policy. What am I talking about? I'm the one hosting this whole show. I'm just kidding. You know, I was going to call you the Johnny Weir of Education Policy. Would that have been better?
I don't know. I mean, the thing about Costas is I've never gotten over his interview that he did with Kobe in the 2008 Olympics, where basically asked Kobe if he was ashamed to be playing for the U.S. And Kobe had a great response. It's out on YouTube somewhere, of basically saying how proud he was to be playing for the U.S. So, you know, I don't think either of us need to be the Bob Costas.
You never let it go. You never let go. Johnny Weir, on the other hand, am I saying that right? Weir? Is that how you say his last name? Yeah. You know, very flamboyant outfits, just like you, Brickman, all the time. Brickman coming in those flamboyant, all those. I mean, that pirate shirt you wore the other day, Brickman. I don't know what you were thinking with that, but you pulled it off.
Yeah, the Philly sleeves, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see those
coming.
Trying
to make a statement.
Always, always. Well, you know, you and Checker both. Okay, lots to do today, lots to talk about. Michelle is here to read the questions for Pardon the Gadfly.
Florida recently rebranded and added to the Common Core. Is this a win or a loss? And should other states follow suit?
Yeah, so some people say, hey, Common Core, not so common anymore. We've got states going their own way. Florida, totally crazy, added cursive into the standards, as well as calculus. What's your thought on this?
Well, first of all, there is the flexibility built in from the beginning. And I think this is kind of a sign that we're entering the late game when it comes to the Common Core. This is a situation where opponents, as we've written time and time again, don't have an alternative plan. And so you have legislators who are pretty sympathetic, I think, in a lot of different states saying, okay, what can we do? And the opponents don't really have anything to say, but we hate Common Core. And so you're getting a situation where they're rebranding, they're adding some things to the standards, and I think that's a smart move in a lot of different ways. But really, you might actually have a situation where some of these redder states end up with slightly better standards than the rest of the nation as a whole.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, these changes are good changes. I mean, I certainly am fine with kids learning cursive. And by all means, as we've always said, the math standards get kids to a college-ready level. That doesn't mean it gets them to the level of being ready for a selective college or for a STEM career. And so if states want to add on to basically what the Common Core go through Algebra 2, if they want to get through calculus, that's great. It's not going to be for all kids, but for the kids that are heading for those tougher math classes in college, absolutely. So this is smart. Now, some people say, well, what about commonality, right? Isn't that the whole point? Well, for us, remember at Fordham, that isn't the whole point. The whole point is higher standards, right? It's actually standards that reflect what the real world is demanding of young people in terms of college readiness or career readiness. And so as long as states get there to those higher standards and to assessments that measure those higher standards, hey, you know, they can be different from one another a little bit. That is okay. And the big question then is for states like Florida and for Indiana and Wisconsin, are they going to use Common Core aligned assessments? And that's what we still have to watch.
For another day.
By the way, speaking of outfits, Michelle, white pants, would you like to defend yourself? I mean, if I check the calendar, it is February. I mean, Memorial Day is nowhere in sight. What is up with that?
Winter white.
Winter white?
Winter white.
What, are you just claiming?
Rebranding.
Oh, my goodness. But you do look patriotic. She's got the red, white, and blue. So go Team USA. That is totally not
and
pink.
That's orange.
Oh, those shoes are orange. All right. What are you rooting for, the Netherlands or something? I mean, come on. Like, they're killing us in speed skating as it is. But hey, go Team USA hockey.
For those playing along at home, by the way, that's the second person that Mike's called out in the last 3 minutes on what they're wearing at work. I don't know, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying
to dish it out.
High standards.
Ooh.
High standards.
Didn't Checker say you looked like a pirate yesterday?
No, not a pirate. A peacock.
A peacock.
Yes.
Even better.
We're talking about Checker Finn here, okay? Are you looking to him as your fashion model? No, I didn't think so. Okay.
Go to the second question.
Topic number two.
In Amy Chua's and Jeb Rubenfeld's new book, The Triple Package, the duo argue that Americans have lost their work ethic, while Alfie Cohn has recently deemed the Protestant work ethic as the problem. In terms of student success in our schools, what's the argument and who's right?
It's not Alfie Cohn. We'll tell you that much. This was ridiculous. Alfie Cohn. Oh my gosh. This guy, Mr. Warm and Fuzzy, he is upset that reformers are now all about non-cognitive skills. But instead of the skills that he likes, the warm ones, the empathy, which is fine. I'm cool with empathy. You know, he's upset that we're focused on things like grit and perseverance and persevering through hard times. He thinks that is a total distortion and that it only encourages the Protestant work ethic that is going to chain people to this corporate system and to follow orders. Blah. On the other hand, Amy Chua is basically saying, hey, some ethnic groups do better than others because some of them, you know, instill values like education and hard work and others don't. And, you know, there you go. So, Brickman, what to make of all of this? Are you with Amy Chua? Are you with Alfie Cohn? Did I mention that Alfie Cohn is also from Wisconsin?
I'm definitely not with Alfie Cohn. And you read his argument and he's trying to imply almost that people who want students to work hard and figure out how to be, you know, to persevere over different challenges and things like that, you know, it's making it sound like we want to make kids cry and we're going to set them up for failure intentionally just so we can kind of sit back and laugh. And I think he's just completely misunderstanding the whole point where just telling kids how great they are and trying to artificially build their self-esteem is maybe something that'll work for a little while, but then eventually they're going to figure out that you haven't actually taught them anything and their self-esteem is going to suffer in the long term. So
I don't know.
Look, this is, they have to earn it.
This is part of the Michelle Rhee argument. She always says in her speeches that, you know, her daughters have all these soccer trophies and they suck at soccer. You know, what their culture that we want to celebrate mediocrity. And look, you don't want to go too far, right? I understand Alfie Cohn is a psychologist. He comes from this perspective that there are certainly kids out there who have been damaged by their parents saying nasty things. I mean, we're not encouraging any of that kind of stuff. But the, you know, kids having to face challenges and overcome them and perform is something that's very healthy for them. And it's why I think many kids today love sports. They love extracurriculars. They love the glee club. They love the debate team. I mean, all these things that ask them to do hard things and to perform and to rise to the pressure, they're good with that. And they complain, you know, as we know from things like the smartest kids in the world, they complain that the schoolwork is one place where they're not asked to rise up to challenges because they're given work that's too easy. It's Mickey Mouse stuff. So bottom line, Alfie Cohn, I do hope you cry because you're wrong on this one. Topic number three.
Our friends from 50Can surveyed more than 6,000 Americans across the country with the big takeaway that Americans agree more than disagree on education. But a whopping 80% don't trust Washington to improve our schools. What does this mean for education reform?
Well, first of all, I want you to know, Michelle, they also said overwhelmingly that you should not wear white pants before Memorial Day.
No, I'm calling Mark right after this.
All right, that was across the regions, okay, especially in the Mid-Atlantic. Strong views on that. But yeah, Michael, this is not surprising, right? People do not trust the federal government on education issues, probably don't trust the federal government on most issues. What do we do with that information?
Well, I'm sure there are at least one or two anti-Common Core people who are sitting at home listening to this, and they're pretty excited because we just told them that Americans don't trust the federal government when it comes to education. But if you read the rest of the survey, 2-1, actually more than 2-1, they support the Common Core, even though still somehow some people don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of different questions on standards. One of the other interesting things, getting back to some of the earlier questions, about 2-1, people think that the goal of schools should be to promote character development more so than to prepare students for the economy. So it's kind of interesting too.
Yeah. And you get that. I mean, look, that point as a parent, you know, I'm not thinking about the economy. I don't look at my two beloved, beautiful sons and think, you know, they're going to be cogs in the capitalist wheel someday. I want them to grow up and be successful, you know, and figure out a way to earn a living in a way that's enjoyable. I mean, I'm lucky to have this awesome job where I tweet for a living, you know, and I'd like for them to have that kind of opportunity too. But I also want them to be happy, to be fulfilled, to have a, you know, family, to have a good marriage, all those sorts of things that, you know, that are more holistic. And that's why when you go to any private, fancy private school, they will talk about educating the whole child. And it's what people want. You know, they don't see their kids as one dimensional. And so they want the whole package. And that comes through in these polls. And I think as reformers, sometimes we are almost practical to a fault, right? I mean, we are worried about the NAEP scores and the gross domestic product and, you know, the link between the two and other, you know, equity concerns like social mobility, I think we've got to find a way to connect in a much more emotional and personal way than we've been doing.
When are we going to see the first class in a K-12 classroom that teaches kids how to tweet for a living?
Yeah, I am wondering the same thing.
I think the kids will be teaching the teachers that.
Yep. Let's hope we never, ever, ever see that,
though. Do you think that anybody that's currently in school is going to be tweeting when they get older? I mean, how longer is Twitter do we have with Twitter? I mean, a couple of years and then we'll be on to something else, right?
Yeah, Facebook's already kind of fading with.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just saying, hey, tweet it while you got it, baby. Tweet it while you got it, because it's not going to be here long. All right, that's all the time we've got for Pardon the Gadfly. Now it's time for Amber's Research Minute. Amber, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Amber, can you weigh in on the big controversy? Michelle's pants. They're white. It is February. She says winter
that
white. What do you think?
Is out. No. But even the Labor Day rule is no longer the rule.
Like, really?
That was years ago. That was just no more. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So that's out.
My mother told me that, and she got best dressed in high school. My mother did. And she still knows how to rock the outfits that I'll miss.
All right. I Michelle, my apologies. I'm so confused by these rules. They come, they go. What the three martini lunch, is that in? Is that out these days?
I think that's always in.
That is always in.
Now mandatory at Fordham.
Always in. I love it. Okay, Amber, what you got for us this week?
All right. You're going to love it. More economists. A pair of them examine whether the lure of a college scholarship impacts student behavior and academic performance. This is the Kalamazoo Promise. You guys may remember this. It was announced in 2005. It provides scholarships from anonymous donors to all Kalamazoo public school graduates who gain entry into a Michigan college or university and maintain a 2.0 GPA while there. So no other requirements except that.
Okay.
Analysts examine outcomes for 9th through 12th grade eligible and ineligible students from 2003 through 2008, which covered two pre-promise years, the year of the announcement, and 2 years after the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Ineligible kids are those who entered after 9th grade, so you got to be there, you know, at least till then. Tuition rates differ depending on how long you're enrolled in KPS, so if you're there from kindergarten on, you get 100% of tuition, and then it sort of staggers from there.
Wow, 100%. At University of Michigan.
At $55,000, you're paid for. Yep.
Nice.
Researchers look at the differences in the number of days suspended, days in detention, whether students complete any course credits, and GPA. Overall, bottom line, they find that the Promise program increased by 9 percentage points the chances that a student earned any high school credits in 2007-08, which incidentally was a big deal because these students started pretty low. I can talk about that. And that was the third year after the program was announced. Didn't show increases in the prior 2 years, which is a little strange. The program also decreased the number of days a student was suspended by almost 2 days in the third year. Also positive impacts on GPA and decreased days in detention, but those weren't statistically significant. The biggest impact, not surprisingly, was on African-American kids. Those GPAs increased significantly in year three by roughly 63% of a standard deviation.
Wow.
Big time. And 3-day decrease on suspensions in year three. But of course, these kids on average tended to have lower GPAs and actually spent more days in suspension. This is kind of funny. At the end, they posit, the analysts, that scholarship programs have greater chances of being successful if students understand that their behavior and GPA impact their chances for college acceptance. Like, hello, I hope these kids know that, right?
Wow. And so, and then that's it? Do we know how, did they go to college? Did they get
through
college?
No, we don't know. Like, but, you know, of course, they're going to track them again.
All right, but I mean, their kids aren't old enough, is the point. They're still going through this. No, it's fascinating. I mean, look, it's somewhat surprising, these good results, because in some other examples where you've tried to have this kind of carrot, but it's way out, you know, years later, people have said it doesn't work. You've got, you know, there's just, as humans, we're just programmed with that kind of delayed gratification doesn't work. It's got to be something that's more immediate, or ideally something where you're actually given the money or the prize and it can be taken away from you,
which is the case here.
But this is still way out for a long time, and it had an impact. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, what do you think, Brickman? Is this something that other cities, you know, we do a lot of work in Dayton, Ohio. That's where our hometown is. Is this something we should be doing for Dayton schools as well? I mean, it seems like you can get some bang for the buck.
The Petrilli Scholarship Fund. You gotta start shelling out the cash, Mike.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean, I think if you're, this is an urban community, you know, it's a very tangible goal, right? You know what you got to do to get in. It's not unrealistic expectations. I mean, they just assume if you gain entry into a college, then you've done something right in high school.
Yeah.
So it's a goal that students, I think, feel like they can reach. You know, it's not out of their realm. And yeah, I mean, gosh, I thought it was really positive.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. You know, I have had this concern lately that we've been too focused on college prep in the school reform movement, and that we need to be more serious about high quality career and technical programs. And so the one thing I worry about is whether it is encouraging some kids who maybe are starting out so far behind with so few credits or low GPAs or low skills, you know, to aim for college. I mean, as long as it's, you know, we include all kinds of post-secondary.
Yeah, they can use it for certificate completion and other types of certificates, not just college.
Yeah. And we'll see if, I assume Kalamazoo has some career and technical programs in the high school. I wonder how those kids, if they do any
better.
That's
right. So. Yep. So they did cover that base.
Awesome. All right. Very interesting. Optimistic. You know, Amber, there was a time when every week you would report on a study that found no findings.
Yes, that's right. Right? Some gold standard, you know, study, and it was nothing.
So another question is, are you lowering your standards or are we actually finding more success?
Yeah, I mean, this was regression discontinuity, right? It was a natural experiment, sort of behavior before and after a program, and I think it's good stuff.
Things are getting better, people. Things are getting better.
Amber's finding better studies.
She's finding, and the studies are finding good results. Yes, school reform is working.
That's right.
All right, that is all the time we've got for this week. Until next week.
This is Michael Brickman.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, signing off.
The Education Gadfly Show is a production of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, located in Washington, D.C. For more information, visit us online at edexcellence.net.